We are living in uncertain times. What can we do? We can pray. We can be like David, who prayed when no one was listening but God. I want Tim Hill to sing my gold nugget for today, and after that, we're going into the lesson.
He was just a shepherd boy before he was a king. There was no craft, there was no choir, but David learned to sing. Just a shepherd in the wilderness, pleased to sing his song for an audience of one. He would sing when no one listened. He would sing when none could hear. He would sing because he knew his song would always find God's ear. When it seemed he was alone and all was gone, when he had nothing but his song, there was an audience of one. Darkness, and I've been all alone. I can't see what lies before me. I can't see which way to go. So when I sing by faith and not by sight, I hope he hears my song. He's never failed to be my audience of one. So I will sing when no one listens. I will sing when none can hear. I will sing because I know my song will always find God's ear. When it seems I am alone and all is gone, when I have nothing but my song,
in our previous lessons, we talked about people groups, people that were in other groups than the one that we are a part of. We talked about the Ninevites, a group of people quite different from the group that Jonah was a part of. Jonah was a part of God's elect, and that gave him a certain amount of pride. Jonah was in that people's group that God had called out of bondage with miracles and wonders and signs. Jonah was a part of the group that God had given a land that flowed with milk and honey. Jonah was happy to be a part of that group. But the Ninevites, Jonah knew they were sinners. They had not been chosen of God as a special people to God. They were not the apple of God's eye. They were sinners, and Jonah hated these sinners. I told you how that God had tapped him to be the preacher to the Ninevites in order to bring them to repentance. I told you how Jonah refused to go. And because of this, God sent a great storm and prepared a great fish. I know some would say that God created the heavens and the earth and all the things that are therein, and after 6 days he rested from his work, but God is still in the creating business. God can still create opportunities for you that you can't see. God can create circumstances that are favorable to you. Don't give up on that which God has promised you. God can create circumstances that will bring it all to fruition. God can put the right people in the right places. God can put you in the right place to meet those right people. God is still creating opportunities, still opening doors. God is still in the creating business. He can still create a storm for the rebellious. He can still create something that will swallow you up if you continue to run from Him. Don't wait until that happens, my friend. But most of us would give Jonah a pass. But God didn't. God didn't give Jonah a pass. But you know, I find this way of thinking even in the New Testament. I was surprised because this preacher, unlike Jonah, had walked with the Lord Jesus Christ for more than 3 years. This preacher was Holy Ghost filled, spoke in tongues. God had used him to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to open blinded eyes. This preacher that I'm talking about was one of God's chosen preachers, handpicked by God Himself. He was the first preacher in the New Testament church, with the resulting of more than 3,000 people being added to the church. It was this man, Peter, who appeared to be reluctant to go to those of another group. So I was quite surprised when I read this in detail, when I began to think on what was really written in the book of Acts in the 10th chapter. I was floored. Peter, of all preachers, the impetuous preacher who was willing to speak up and preach to anybody, anywhere. But there in the book of Acts, chapter 10, it starts off like this. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. Cornelius was a soldier in the army which was an enemy of Israel. And he lived in a place called Caesarea. Have you ever wondered where Caesarea was? This is not Caesarea Philippi. This is Caesarea, a city on the shore of the Mediterranean, about 70 miles northwest of Jerusalem, built by Herod the Great as a major port. Herod named it Caesarea in honor of the emperor. And on the other hand, Caesarea Philippi is at the southwest base of Mount Hermon on a rocky terrace, 1,150 foot above sea level. Philip embellished it and renamed it Caesarea Philippi. It was here that Jesus and Peter made those profound statements. Peter says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And it was at this same place and at this same time that Jesus uttered those words, which gives us hope as we and others have repeated them down through the ages. It was there, 1,150 foot above sea level, 40 miles north of Capernaum, where Jesus says, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Let me get back to Cornelius. The Bible says that he was a centurion, but in verse 2, it tells us that he was a devout man, one that feared God with all of his house. which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. This was a godly man. This was a man who feared God, a devout believer in God. And one day, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he saw a vision of an angel coming into him and saying unto him, "Cornelius, your prayer is heard, and your alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send to Joppa, call here Simon, whose surname is Peter, who, when he comes, shall speak unto you." So Cornelius did. He sent his servants to Joppa, and down in Joppa, God was working with Peter. Peter was waiting on dinner, and he saw the heavens open and a vessel descending where there was all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, fowls of the air. And Peter heard a voice saying, "Rise, Peter, kill it and eat it." Peter says, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice said to him a second time, "What God has cleansed, that call you not common." If God cleanses it, if God approves of it, if God accepts it, why should we call it common? Why should we call it unclean? He said, "What God has cleaned, don't you call it common. Don't you call it unclean."